Good morning, and welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City. I'm also pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch. My phone number is 763-607-9296. Or you can reach me by email at zionpinecity@gmail.com. or Pastor Glenn Kleppe at livingbranch.org. It's December 10th, 2023, which is, on the church calendar, the second Sunday in Advent. Advent is a season of four Sundays immediately before Christmas. The word Advent means coming. And the season is about preparing to celebrate Jesus' first coming at Bethlehem and to look ahead to his second coming on the last day. We prepare for these things by praying and confessing our sins and worshiping. Zion's worship is at 8:30 Sunday morning, with the special Advent services on Wednesdays during December at 11:30 in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening. At Living Branch, there's a 10 o'clock Sunday morning service and a special Advent services on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. Also at Zion on December 20th, between 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening, we'll be holding our annual live nativity. And at Christmas, we will have several services, candlelight service on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock at Zion and 7 o'clock at Living Branch. And our Christmas Day festival service is at 10 o'clock, and it's at Zion. The Lord be with you. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Luther's Small Catechism, we get this on confession. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Take a moment to consider your sins according to the Ten Commandments. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who's begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The readings for the second Sunday in Advent begin with our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and make his footsteps a way. Our epistle lesson from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. The Apostle Peter writes this, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter, the first 8 verses. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's an old episode of the sitcom Cheers when the owner, Sam, is lamenting how busy he is at this time of year. In ordinary years, we are all busy, up to our ears in things to do. Sam says, "It feels like Christmas comes earlier every year." And Woody, the dim-witted bartender, explains helpfully, "No, Sam, I think that you'll find it's December 25th every year." Indeed, the same date every year. And honestly, it isn't like it sneaks up on anyone. There's lots of evidence around that it's coming. Look at the stores and the TV shows and the decorations. Christmas will soon be here. We all know it. But if you go back to that first Christmas some 2,000 years ago, it wasn't quite the same. They weren't expecting that the Messiah would be born today or this month or this year. Actually, probably most of them hoped that he would be born in their lifetime. Who knows? God had been silent for quite a while. It had been hundreds of years, probably 400 or so, since the last prophet Malachi had penned his book. It was a difficult time. They were a small nation, only a remnant of what they had once been, and they were feeling somewhat abandoned by God, and waiting for a Savior with no idea when he would come. They were waiting for the days spoken of by the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament lesson. "Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news," he said. "Lift up your voice with strength. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." It's a beautiful passage that spoke of a beautiful time, a time when God would come and they would see him and he would gently take them up in his arms. But when would that be? God would send a messenger to prepare for that time. He would be a voice crying, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Then John appeared. He snuck up on them. He was the voice crying. He fulfilled the prophecy, and he told them so. After hundreds of years, there was a prophet, and more than that, he was the prophet who would precede the coming of the Messiah. Did they expect him? John's birth had been miraculous. His father, Zechariah, and his mother, Elizabeth, were too old for children. But an angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple, and the people knew that he had seen a vision, and they knew that shortly thereafter Elizabeth was pregnant. But 30 years later, when John began his ministry, who remembered that special birth? Who knew anything about it? For most people, all they knew was that suddenly there was a prophet. He lived in the wilderness. He baptized people in the Jordan River. And he was saying that he was the fulfillment of our Old Testament lesson. As that forerunner, his ministry was about preparation, preparing the way for the Lord. That's why we read about John in Advent, the season of preparation. What was the preparation that John preached and carried out? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This was a strange message for the Jews. They were God's chosen people. They always thought of themselves as the best. In fact, they thought that if they could keep the law perfectly for one day, then the Messiah would come. It was up to them. John's message was different. It wasn't about being good enough for the Savior. The Savior would come because of sin. The Savior would come because they weren't good enough. About 6 months after John was born, Jesus was born. And about 6 months after John started baptizing, Jesus came to him. He began his public ministry by coming to be baptized in the Jordan River by John. It was time for him to appear. Of course, Jesus also had a miraculous birth, but 30 years later, who remembered? Who knew? Jesus' birth was much more memorable than John's. There were angels appearing to shepherds, a visit from Magi who had seen a magnificent star. And the part that people certainly wouldn't forget, Herod had all of the male babies killed in an effort to kill Jesus. Of course they would remember that. But actually, Jesus had left by then. His parents took him to Egypt, and later they quietly came back, quietly lived in a quiet little town, below the radar, as they say. Jesus, like John, seemed to just appear. Early in his ministry, when Jesus went back to Nazareth and told them that he was the fulfillment of prophecy, they questioned, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They must have known some of the circumstances of his birth, but 30 years later, he was just a Nazarene to them. Joseph's son. He caught them by surprise. They wanted to kill him. Jesus doesn't surprise us. Christmas doesn't take us by surprise. We understand Christmas. We know Jesus. His ministry also rarely takes us by surprise. But it surprised the people of his time. He ate with prostitutes and tax collectors. He taught them rather than an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. He went into the temple and chased out the people selling sacrificial animals and money changers. He often opposed Jewish leadership, but didn't oppose the Romans. They sometimes struggled to understand him. Palm Sunday maybe surprised some of them. Thursday and Friday surprised them more. Sunday surprised everyone, even his closest followers. Rarely does he take us by surprise. We know that his mercies are new every morning. We know his love. We know what he did for us in his birth and life and death and resurrection and ascension. We trust the forgiveness he won for us. We fully expect his eternal life. our surprise is replaced by knowledge and faith. We know, we believe, we trust. When we get to heaven, we'll be surprised. There will be things there beyond our comprehension. Christmas is the start. Heaven is the finish. Perhaps the author Herb Brokering said it best in a hymn he wrote, "Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise." He wrote, "Thine the kingdom, Thine the prize, Thine the wonderful surprise. Thine the banquet, then the praise, then the justice of thy ways. Thine the glory, thine the story, then the welcome to the least. Then the wonder all increasing at thy feast, at thy feast." May God restore to each one of us the wonder of Christ and his salvation. Amen. We speak our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. As you led Joseph like a flock, so now by your Son lead us into straight paths. Bring us out of bondage of our sins and plant us securely on your eternal promises. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, in your blessed patience, you send your prophets and apostles, pastors and teachers in all times, that sinners would not perish, but rather reach repentance and find comfort in your word, which alone will stand forever. Preserve the servants of your church. Give to our congregations and all congregations in all places an increase of hope, that we may await the revealing of the new heavens and the new earth in lives of holiness and godliness, diligent to be found without spot or blemish, and at peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, preserve your gift of marriage against the ravages of sin, the schemes of the devil, and the raging of the world. Bless the couples and families of our congregations and communities. Strengthen them in love and care for one another, and establish them on the foundation of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all comfort, your word alone endures forever. The nations of the world come and go before you. Even kings and rulers are like grass before your breath. Preserve us from placing our trust in princes and mortal men. Give us leaders who will rule after your good pleasure, keeping order and protecting life, that we may live in godly quietness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of hosts, graciously regard all for whom we pray, and we bring them to you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you once prepared the way of your only begotten Son through the preaching and baptism of John. Prepare now your church with true repentance and faith that seeks the forgiveness of sins, that we would keep the feast of Christmas in sincerity and truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you've caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining me. This has been Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street in Pine City. We have our worship services at 8:30 on Sunday morning, and during the month of December, we have special Advent services on Wednesdays at 11:30 in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening. We also have our live nativity coming up on December 20th, which is a Wednesday, from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the evening. I'm also the pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch. Living Branch has worship at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, and during the month of December, special Advent services on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock in the evening. Our Christmas services will be candlelight services on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock at Zion and 7 o'clock at Living Branch, and Christmas Day will be 10 o'clock in the morning at Zion. If you have any questions, I can be reached by email at zionpinecity@gmail.com or at pastorglennkleppe@livingbranch.org. My phone number is 763-607-9296. Please call if you have questions or concerns. And may the Lord bless your week.